Welcome to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z, the program that tells it like it is. We don't hold back, we don't pull any punches, and we don't use the N-word that rhymes with bigger to describe certain POCs, people of color. We don't use that word because it's offensive to them. Only, of course, if we say it. Of course, if they say it, it's quite all right. And you hear it in their music, you hear it in their screaming at each other, you hear it when they are name-calling. You hear that word, the N-word that rhymes with bigger, out of the mouths of people of color, more than you ever heard it in the history of the nation coming from the tongues of white folks. But supposedly, that's okay. I won't use that word here on the Truth Hurts program, because that would get me canceled. That would be full-on justification by those on the left, by people of color, to have this program permanently taken off of social media. Now, why am I bringing that up here on the 26th day of February? Monday, by the way. Welcome back. The waning full moon in effect right now here before 6 a.m. on your Monday. Beautiful, beautiful conditions down here in New Orleans. The people in California must be scratching their heads today saying, wait a minute, I thought it was supposed to be cold and nasty and rainy everywhere but here. I thought we in California were supposed to enjoy perfect weather, sunny skies, and a light 5-mile-an-hour breeze out of the west, and 70-degree weather. Well, that's what we've had now for almost 10 solid days in the bayous of South Louisiana. We have yet, as a matter of fact, in New Orleans, we have yet to hit 80 degrees on the official weather reporting stations in New Orleans. We have yet to hit 80 degrees. Now, they're saying that 80-degree day might come this Wednesday, but it all depends on the cloud cover associated with a cold front. I call it a cold front. It really won't change temperatures. We have been basking in beautiful blue skies with lots and lots of sunshine and an average high temperature of between 68 and 72 degrees with very, very low humidity. The libtards out in California have been suffering from monsoonal rains for weeks on end. Now, the weather people, I'll give them credit. Being a meteorologist is something that I wanted to do. Started to go to school for that, switched to something completely different, the whole broadcast journalism thing, then the industrial instrumentation thing. Anyhow, the weather people in California, all these years, all these decades, they've had it pretty easy. They always get on there probably 9 to 10 months out of each year and say, sunny and 70 today with a light breeze blowing in from the west and the humidity sitting around 36%. Expect the same for the next forever. But now, bored to death, they've had to come up with new, exciting, manufactured terms for what we call an afternoon thunderstorm here in Louisiana, or a rain shower. In Texas, they call it a gully washer. You know, rain comes down so hard and so quick, it just washes the dirt out the gullies. In the Northeast, they call it a nor'easter. Aye, the weather's so bad, it's unbelievable. Or in Boston, it's wicked cold and wicked rainy today. But in California, they rarely see this type of weather. They don't see the monsoonal rains for weeks and weeks and weeks upon end. They don't get those cold fronts down south in LA, with the water and the rain and the washing out of roads and the mudslides. Not usually. Not this time of year. Not right before spring. This last few weeks, they've come up with some, well, they've done it for a few years whenever there's a big rainstorm. Now they call it an atmospheric river. An atmospheric river. That means a frontal passage has moved through. The training effect of thunderstorms continues to drop water over the same area over and over and over for some period of time. It causes some widespread street flooding. Sometimes it's a gully washer. Fills up those low spots and the water goes running on down. It's not an atmospheric river, it's a sudden ground river. All right, I digress. Beautiful weather in Louisiana. California, you can suck it because we've got it kind of really good right now where I am, and I hope I don't jinx it. As many of you already know, I will be stepping away from this microphone for about 3 weeks. The end of this week, I'm making a trip to see just what the real world conditions are in places like Seoul, South Korea, Da Nang, Vietnam, several cities in Singapore, several cities in China. I'm going there to see what the real world looks like compared to the lies or the truths that we were told as young children. Remember, when you were a young child of the 60s, the 70s, even the early 80s, before wokeism, progressivism, gender dysphoria, and all the bullshit that they're trying to feed young kids these days kicked in, before the lies of liberalism kicked in, we dealt back then with a situation known as communism scare. I remember it well. We sat in our little classrooms and we were told things like, in Russia, when you're born, they look at you, they scan your eyes, they look into your pupils, and they tell the parents, your child is going to be a military man, or your child is going to make food, or your child is going to make clothing, or your child is going to make furniture, or your child looks a little fruity, so he's going to be in the Bolshoi Ballet. And then they pretty much take your children away from you and stick them in state-run schools where they indoctrinate them into hating the wonderful red, white, and blue of the USA. And you're made to go into a military-type school where all the children need to wear the same kind of uniforms and their haircuts all have to comply with certain rules and regulations. And they can only speak when spoken to, and they must say the equivalent in Russian, yes sir and no sir, and yes ma'am and no ma'am. And then they're drafted into the army. And then they're made to fight for Mother Russia. Remember that? We were told that the Chinese people were all very poor, and that when you're born, they put a pointy hat on your head, and they make you squint in the sun because they haven't invented sunglasses yet. And everybody wears the same type of cottony-looking linen clothing, and they're made to go out and pick rice in the fields because that's all they get. One bowl of rice per day, per person. And when the economy is bad because they don't know how to run a government in communist society, you get a smaller bowl of rice. Remember that? And you're put in a state school, and you're made to wear the same uniform, and everybody's been told, you have to wear this and that, and you can only do this and that, and everybody must learn karate. And the school teaches you what to learn, and then they tell you what you're gonna be, a rice picker. And if you're not a rice picker, you have to go in the communist Chinese army, and you're going to do this for the rest of your life. Remember that? If you're not old enough to remember that, that was the propaganda we were fed here in the good old USA, along with duck and cover. Probably the stupidest thing. I, at 6 years old, knew that duck and cover was the dumbest thing I had ever heard in my life. Supposedly, the evil people in Russia had nuclear weapons, and they were going to use them and shoot them at us. Right there at Gentilly Terrace Elementary School in New Orleans, because we were told that that was the prime target of Russian communist aggression. And that if a nuclear siren went off, you had to duck under your school desk and you had to cover your head with your hands or a school book. And you had to kneel there until the emergency was done. And I had the audacity at 6 years of age, during one of those drills, to ask the teacher if a nuclear bomb is going to blow us up like they show on those war movies on Sunday morning, then what is putting a school book over my head under this flimsy desk going to do to save my life? And I was told to shut up, obey the rules, and that was that. Duck and cover was the law of the land. That desk would protect all students from nuclear bombs. Remember the stupidity? And we grew up from first grade or kindergarten all the way through the 12th grade thinking, if a nuclear bomb comes, we all know what to do, because it was drilled into us so many times. Like the fire drill. Some kid pulls the fire alarm and everybody puts their books down and walks single file silently out of the classroom. Actually, double file, boys on one side, girls on the other side. And then you go outside in the middle of the parking lot in the sweltering New Orleans heat, and you wait until the fire is put out by the heroes who wear the fire truck uniforms. Remember that? I'm sorry, not fire truck uniforms, but you get the picture. We haven't learned our lesson. We don't teach duck and cover anymore because kids have access to the internet these days. And they know that the desks are way, way less sturdy now than they were when we were kids. Those solid wood desks on those solid steel chromed legs. Hell, we'd sit on the desks and wait for the teacher to come into class. Some people would stand on the desks. Nowadays, you do that, the desk collapses, mom and dad sue the school system, and then the judge says, your child needs to go to juvenile because he dared to stand on a desk, and that's against the rules. Now, I talked about this past that we had of the duck and cover and the lies of being told, oh, that Russian children, blah, 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 and Chinese children, blah, 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 and only kids in the United States have the freedom to be whatever they want to be. Even a moron like Joe Biden, a lying prefabricator like Joe Biden, could become the president of the United States if votes were stolen and elections were rigged and Barack Hussein Obama got his magical third term. I actually have interviews at the Studio 63 offices of Barack Obama being asked a question. And the question was, what if you could have a third term? And Barack Obama, just to basically summarize what he said, was, well, we all know that that's not possible because the way the Constitution has been amended, we can't have three terms now. But I wouldn't mind having another crack at the White House if I could find a surrogate, if I could find someone to be a placeholder, and I just sit in my basement in my sweatpants and direct them of what to do and tell them how things are supposed to be done, I have no problem running this country for a third term or even a fourth. I have that interview and I will try to play that before I head out of town for you. But if not, it'll be waiting somewhere around March 20th when we return to the microphone here on the Truth Hurts program. For the next 3 days after today, so today, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I will be traveling during the days between Studio 63 and Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So I won't have access to all of those audio files, but I hope I can remember, and I'll try and make a mental note of that, to play that for you. Actual Barack Obama video footage, not AI, not some deep fake, but him actually interviewing and saying that that would be something that he desired to run a third and maybe even a fourth term from his basement in his sweatpants if he had the right stooge to sit in the office and pretend to be the president. He has such a stooge in Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., the current so-called president of the United States. He has that guy in place. And everything that Barack Obama is doing by pulling Joe Biden's strings makes all of the bad things Barack Obama did while he was sitting in the president's chair look like a day in kindergarten. All right, back to my original point. I mentioned all of that stuff about what the Russian parents were forced to make their children do, and all of the propaganda and the lies that were foisted upon those children, and those that were foisted upon us. Because just as we were being told that communism is evil, they were being told in Russia and in China, capitalism is evil. Think about it this way. This is what they were taught. Those people in America, not everybody gets to eat the same type of meal. And they only show us on Russian television that the signals that get through, and on Chinese communist television, the American programming that gets through, that everybody lives in a little house with a big yard and a white picket fence, and the mommy and the daddy have wonderful smiling lives, and they eat steak or fried chicken every night, and that they have this snack and that cookie and this kind of cake, and that every child gets to do what he wants to do. That's what they're telling their children in America. But the reality was, if you went to Detroit, if you went to Atlanta in those days, if you went to, oh, I don't know, Chicago, parts of New York, you saw the slums and the poverty. And that's what was shown to the kids on official Russian media. That's what was shown to the kids on official Chinese Communist Party media. That only the bright-eyed, blue-eyed, blonde-haired American white people that they showed on television were actors, like Hollywood actors, and that everybody else lived in these poor conditions because capitalism was this evil thing where the giant owners of the company's kids went to very beautiful private schools, but everybody else was poor, and everybody else lived in housing projects and high-rise slum brownstone apartments like in New York or Chicago, Boston. And they mistreat all of the minorities in America. They use them as slaves, and they always have, and they always will. That's what they told the Russian kids. That's what they told the Chinese kids. It was all propaganda. Meanwhile, they encouraged Americans, please have more babies. Have more babies. We need to build an army big enough to defeat Russia, to defeat China, to defeat the evil North Koreans, to defeat the evil North Vietnamese. Here in America, we showed pictures of North Vietnam, North Korea, China, and Russia with the poorest of the poor, tattered clothing, begging in the streets, you know, sort of like India, begging in the streets for scraps of food. That's what we were shown as kids. The fact of the matter, my friends, is we're all just humans. Everyone's just trying to eat. Everyone's just trying to do what they can to not only survive, but to get a little something extra. So I will be embarking on a trip to Seoul, South Korea, Da Nang, Vietnam, Singapore, and a few cities in China, and I'm going to get some first-hand observations. We're going to be traveling not just to the tourist spots, but deep, deep into those nations, and we're going to get a first-hand view of what the real world is like, not the world that we've been fed on television and in school books in the United States of America. But I'll let you know. And I'm guessing, my hosts, by the way, have been there multiple times. My main host has been there at least 40 times over the last 25 to 30 years. And he's told me all along, buddy, Steve-O, it ain't anywhere near like what you were told in school, like what I was told in school, what American kids were told in school. It's nothing like the propaganda that they show on television. And you're going to see ancient cities that have stood for 5,000 plus years, people out there doing what they want to do with their lives. You'll see artists, you'll see dancers and musicians, and you'll see workers, you'll see retail establishments and restaurants and food choices like you never imagined possible. He says, you own a company, you're paying roughly 35-39% income tax to the U.S. government, plus you're paying another 7-9% to the state of Louisiana just to operate your business. You're also paying, if you own and operate a business in the city of New Orleans, city taxes as well, which equate to about half of every dollar you make. Right? And he's right. If you live in the city of New York, the big rotten apple, and you make over $150,000 a year, then you are most certainly paying over 50% of your income to one government agency or another. You're paying that 39% federal tax. You're paying 10 to 11% state tax. Well, that puts you at 40. And then you're paying that 10% city tax just for the privilege of operating a business in the big rotten apple. And because the taxation is so high, everything there costs more than it does in Plains, Georgia, where Jimmy Carter lives, or Hope, Arkansas, where the Clintons come from. You're paying a lot more. He said, so would you feel embarrassed if I told you that in China? I said, wait, let me stop you. In China, the government owns 25% of every business. He says, once again, you listened to what they told you in school, what they told you on television. That ownership that you claim the Chinese government has in every business is just their tax. It's just their tax of the business. But you see, they do tax a certain percentage of the value of that business. And they do so, and they do claim some ownership, some lien type equity in that business. But in exchange for that 25% ownership in my brother's printing company in China, in exchange for that 25% yearly tax, not 50%, 25%, in exchange for that, when his printing machines become obsolete and they're not efficient enough for the government steps in and provides the owner of that business with a lot of assistance in upgrading those printing presses. Why? Because the government then has a vested interest in that business's success. If that business falls behind in production when compared to other similar businesses around the globe, the government takes a hit. Because if the Russian printing company can do a better job cheaper, then business goes to the Russian printing company. If the United States comes up with a better, faster, more efficient, less costly way to do business, then the companies don't print in China, they print in the United States, and therefore the company loses money and the government loses revenue. It's a very efficient system, he said. I have no reason to doubt it. It makes perfect sense. But in the free market, as we call it, the capitalist system here in the United States, you look at your devices, your phones, your appliances, and you say, well, I've got the latest iPhone, blah, blah, blah. And it does this and that and the other. And it takes 3D photos. And it does this, that, and the other. And it takes x-rays. And it gives you a full health readout. Yeah. The phones over there did it 10 years ago. Think about that. I'm going to see firsthand whether the guys who have been going over there and seeing it firsthand are lying to me, or whether the school system and the mainstream leftist, progressive, liberal, woke news media in the United States, at the behest of the U.S. government's Democratic political party, has been lying to me. I know where I'd put money if I were a betting man, after watching the lies of our progressive, woke, leftist, liberal government. But they're finally on board with the Democratic Party's plan to get rid of Joe Biden. CNN this week had reports calling Joe Biden out for the lies that he's been telling, calling out Joe Biden for the stories he's been making up, saying he didn't do business in China or any of those other countries, and then showing reports that he indeed did, saying that he didn't have any classified documents stored in unsecured places like his garage or his house or his library or in an unlocked cabinet at the Penn Biden Center. But the actual reports show he did. I think with enough outrage, with enough public outcry, they may actually now begin to start going after Joe Biden in the 25th Amendment to get rid of Joe Biden for his ineptness, his inability to continue doing the job. Old scrappy Joe from Scranton's own ego and his money-grubbing family, especially his wife, the good doctor, well, they don't want Joe Biden to go away. The money, the gravy train stops. The gravy train goes away if Joe Biden's out of office, if Joe Biden is indicted, if Joe Biden is disgraced. The influence peddling of the Biden family name becomes garbage when he is kicked out of office. Perhaps the Democratic political party has a little bit of heart after all, and they're allowing the Biden crime family to get their financial houses in order, get all that money to the offshore accounts so that the Biden children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren won't have to live like poor people, won't have to work like normal people. They'll just be able to live off of the interest of the tens of millions of dollars that the Biden crime family has managed to amass in their influence peddling and money laundering dealings. Yes, my friends, we are in this country and hoping, praying that we get a decent outcome in the election. Only 9 months away. Only 9 short months until we elect the next president. We know the fix is already in. They've tried 72 different indictments, all ongoing in different states, to kick Donald Trump off the ballot, to imprison him for manufactured, made-up crimes, to elevate petty things that he either said or supposedly did into these massive, massive cases. They're trying to get Donald Trump for having classified documents in his possession that he was lawfully, legally allowed to have in his possession at the very same moment that they're saying we're not going to prosecute Joe Biden for the exact same crimes on a much larger scale because he's an old man with a bad memory. The double standard is alive and kicking. I elected Republicans in Congress to get rid of Joe Biden, to impeach him, to investigate him, to prosecute him. I don't even want them to persecute him and make him out to be a bad guy in the media. Just make him have to endure the same type of prosecution that Donald Trump has had to endure. Promise you, Joe Biden wouldn't make it. They're just hoping that by hook and by crook and by voter intimidation, voter fraud, misinformation, disinformation, and of course a little interference, that they will put Joe Biden back in office in November, and then 3 weeks later they can let him retire gracefully with whomever as his vice president stepping into that role. God help us all. Hey folks, we've run out of time for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. Go out there and have a great Monday. Bye-bye for now. Thank you for listening. Copyright 2024, The Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved. Background music, Jason Shaw and Audionautix.